these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Chronicles 17. Starting in verse 13, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. The word of God says, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. I will not take my mercy away from him. As believers, we have to learn, we have to believe that we have this relationship with God. That he is our father, and we are his sons or his daughters. But he is our father. First and foremost, he is our father. And he wants us to know him as our father. Now, we preach from time to time, and I think it's necessary that this happens from time to time, about Christ God as our king. And he is a majestic king, and he certainly is. It is important that we recognize the majesty of God. It's important that we recognize the righteousness and holiness of God, and also the grace and mercy of God. These things are important, and we can't do without them. But likewise, we cannot do without the intimate recognition that he is, first and foremost, before he is a king to us, he is a father to us. Before God became the Lord, he was first creator. At least as far as chronology in the temporal realm goes. Before he became Lord, he was creator. Before he asked anything, before he said anything to mankind directly upon the earth, he first formed him out of the dust of the ground. He gave life to him. And this shows us that God is first and foremost Father. As such, we always run to him as Father. Now, Jesus, when he said, Abba, Father, he didn't say Father. He said Daddy. He referred to him as Daddy. And so, not only is he our Father, and we must recognize he is our Daddy. He's not just a Father, formal Father, cold, impersonal. No, he's not like that. He is intimate and warm, and he is very involved and very interested, very nurturing and very caring. He is everything that is encompassed in that term, Daddy. And so we have to see him as Daddy before we can effectively see him as King. You see, if I see him as King, but I don't see him as Daddy, I will learn perhaps faith and I will learn perhaps obedience, but it will only be on a surface level. The reason is because if I simply see him as king and not daddy, I will never get to know my daddy's heart. I will never really get to know the heart of God. I will never really get to know the mercies and the compassions and the kindness of God if I simply see him as king before I see him as daddy. I must see him as daddy first. Because though I may have some semblance of reliance and some semblance of faith, it will not be an energetic living faith. Because faith works by the love of God. And so if I see him as king, I will trust him with some trepidation maybe. I will obey him but with a little bit of hesitation, and if not hesitation, then perhaps fear. Like I'm going out there on my own. Similar, I would think, if you have like one of those medieval kings and they have an army and they send out a soldier into the battle. The soldier's not depending on the king. He's not thinking the king's going to back me up on this battle and bail me out if I get in trouble. He's thinking the king has sent me out here and now I'm going to die. Because he doesn't know the king as daddy. He only knows the king, as majesty, but not as daddy. But we are not like that. We know God as Daddy first and foremost. And only after we know Him as Daddy do we know Him as King. Because before He was our King, He is our Daddy. And so our Daddy is a King, and we always run to our Daddy. We get in trouble, we do well. It doesn't matter. We run to Daddy. Something good, you know how you want it? Something good happens to your day and you just want to run to somebody who loves you and that you love and you want to tell them all about. That is like God. He is Daddy. We want to run to Him in the things. And God, let me tell you about this. I know you already know it, but I want to tell you anyway. Why? Because it makes me feel good to tell you, and He's okay with that. He's good with it. He likes that. He's happy when that happens. Or something bad also. Something, God, I got to tell you what happened to me today. Just the same way you have a loved one and you pour out your heart or your burden to your loved one because you know that they will find, they will be a source of comfort and of compassion to you. And so we come to Him as Daddy. We always run to Him as Daddy. If He is just my King, I will always be a little bit fearful of Him. Because then He is a ruler, but maybe not so compassionate. Then He is majestic and powerful, but maybe not so kind. If I only know Him as King. But I know Him as Daddy. And then when I know Him as Daddy, can I in fact properly relate to Him as King? Because just like any other father, like children listen to Daddy. Children, little children, I'm not talking about what the world has done to the teenage mind. But little children, still, generally if they are in a nurturing home, listen to Daddy. Because Daddy tells them the way it is and they believe Him and Daddy loves them and they crawl up in Daddy's lap or in His arms. And then they are safe. We crawl up in God's lap, in God's arms, and we are safe because He is our Daddy. And even perhaps if we have made mistakes and we have, like, what have we done? What negative thing has happened in my life 95% of the time that I wasn't responsible for anyway? So it's not an issue of did I mess it up or did somebody else do this to me? The vast majority of the time, we all, and this is true with all of us, we do it to ourselves. But He does not, He's not unkind to us. He recognizes that. He even tells us this. And He tells us this is going to happen. You're going to make mistakes. But when you make mistakes, He says, run to Me, because I'm your Daddy. I fix your mistakes. I fix your wounds. I fix your hurts. I fix the things that went wrong. I fix those things. And He does this for us because He is our Daddy. Always run to Daddy. Always run to Daddy. No matter what it is. Don't feel good, Daddy. I'm just not feeling well. Well, how many kids would say to their dad, Dad, I just don't feel good today. Or to their mom, I'm just not feeling good today. Yeah, you don't trust God that way. Headache, it's just something small. I don't feel like it's something I need to take. No, just take it to God. You told your spouse about it, didn't you? You would tell your mom or dad if you were a little kid, wouldn't you? You would tell your friend, wouldn't you? Why not tell God? Run to Daddy. Run to Daddy. He wants you to. Maybe we feel He's going to hurt us. It's because we know Him too much as King without enough of Daddy. He won't hurt us. He'll be kind. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, the Word of God says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. This is the God that we're dealing with. This is our Daddy. This is our Daddy. He is the Father of mercies. Mercies originate with my Daddy. And comfort is what He is. All comfort. He is the God of all comfort. He is the Creator and the Ruler. And He is like comfort yields to Him. It must do what He says. And He is the God of all comfort. In 1 Timothy 1:2, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. Grace, mercy, and peace. This is how He approaches things, with grace, mercy, and peace. You see, those times when we feel unworthy, those times when we feel like, I'm really a trainer, God, I don't have any legitimate right to stand before You. I don't even belong like anywhere on this planet, really, if I was honest about it. I'm just glad to be here. Please don't take me out. Did you ever feel like that? I can't. You ever feel like, I cannot think right with God for 2 nanoseconds. I cannot think right with God at all. Please, God, I can't. I'm sorry. I just don't have it. Well, at times like that, run to your daddy. Because what emanates from your daddy is grace, mercy, and peace. And when you run to your daddy, you will find grace, mercy, and peace. And when He says in Jeremiah 31:3 that with loving kindness He has drawn us, this is how He does it. You see, we think sometimes, you know, I failed my challenges, I failed my tests. How often do we think something happened, I got tested, I lost it, I failed the test? Well, He says, with loving kindness I draw you. In the midst of your failure, with loving kindness, I draw you. In the midst of your losing it, in the midst of freaking out, in the midst of your whatever it may be, with loving kindness, I draw you. He's my daddy. He's your daddy. He will always draw you with loving kindness. He's not a bully. He doesn't carry a bat. He's not a policeman with a nightstick. He's your daddy. A lot of people don't necessarily have a good daddy. Some people don't. But they have God. They have God. He will be their daddy. He's like Psalm 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And how many people, and it happens unfortunately to some, their father and their mother forsake them, but the Lord takes them up. It's like picture, the Lord takes them in His arms. And like the way that a child would come running into the arms of mom or dad, and they would hold them close to their breast, and they would lift them off of the ground, and they would hold them tight. This is what the Lord does. Your father or your mother forsake you, the Lord holds you tight. The Lord holds you close to His breast. The Lord embraces you. The Lord kisses you. The Lord caresses your head. The Lord takes care of you. He is our daddy. He is our daddy. This is why, because He is my daddy, I'm not afraid in Hebrews 4:16 to run to the throne of grace. Come boldly itself. How many people actually come boldly to the throne of God? I mean, in pure humility and come boldly. How many people recognize who God is and they come boldly to the throne of God? Why? Why don't they? Why don't they? Because I don't think very many really do. I don't know, but I don't think they do. Because they don't recognize that the King is their daddy. He is. The King is their daddy. I love it when I see these like high-powered people, like leaders of businesses or senator government types, and they have a child. And like the kid calls, like their daughter calls or their son calls during the meeting. And I'm not saying that this should happen all the time, but I like it when you see it's like they take the call. Excuse me, Mr. President, my son is calling me on the phone. You're going to have to wait. You see, this is what our God is like. He'll put off everything else for us. It doesn't matter what's going on. He'll put off everything else for us. He's our daddy. He's our daddy. Do you get it? He's our daddy. We come boldly to His throne. And what do we find there? We find mercy. But we don't just find it, we obtain it. You see, there's the key word. We obtain the mercy. We get mercy for ourselves at the throne of God. Because my daddy always treats me with mercy, and he gives me grace, kindness. He gives me the expression of his kindness to help me in the times of my need. And so I come to him with my need, and he always responds to me with tremendous kindness. I come to him in a failure, and he always responds with tremendous mercy. I'm still amazed, and I think I always will be, that Ahab found mercy from God. Ahab was a terrible, terrible, wicked, evil man. He was the most evil king that ever lived, quite possibly. He was heinously evil. And yet, he humbled himself before God after Jezebel, the demonic influence in his life, died. He humbled himself before God. And his daddy says, "See how he humbles himself before me?" How many people, "Hey, too little, too late, buddy, I don't really buy it." Isn't this like what most people would respond? Like, "Too little, too late, I don't really buy it." Yeah, you should have done that a long time ago. That's the world speaking. That's how the world says it. But not God. There is no such thing as too little, too late with God. He said, "See how Ahab, how he humbled himself before me? You know what? I'm going to do something for Ahab." I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it amounts to. "I'm going to do something for Ahab because he humbled himself before me. I was going to have all this stuff come on, and you know, I'm going to take it all off of him. I'm going to make sure he dies in peace." What? How? What kind of an outrage? Because he's daddy. Yes, he had a son who was difficult. One of his own was difficult. Yes, like how many parents have a kid who's difficult? Doesn't do what you want him to do, gets in trouble, makes all the wrong choices, all the mistakes. You kind of wonder to yourself from time to time, should I ever have even had this child? But then the kid does something right. And they're like, "Oh, thank God, yes, come on, let's do that again. Let's do that, yes, yes, right, yes, that's the way, yes, let's do that again." You see, if man thinks like that, how much more God? How much more God? Well, he doesn't say, "I should have never had this child," but he just says, "Come on. Come on, let's make the right choices. Come on, let's do it right. Come on, we can do this. Come on, I'll help you to do it. I'll give you the ability. I'll give you the energy. I'll put my Holy Spirit inside of you. Yeah, we can do this. Let's do it right. Let's do it my way. Let's do it God's way. Let's do it so that it's life. Come on, we can do this." And he never leaves you or forsakes you, and never leaves you on your own to do anything at all. He's always there with his arms underneath you, and is lifting us up and constantly taking care of us. And if I fail, I fail into his arms, and he picks me right back up. Why? He's my daddy. He's my daddy. My daddy won't quit on me. I may grieve him. I may quench his initiations toward me, but he won't quit on me. My daddy never quits on me. Why? He's my daddy. That's why. In Psalm 27:14, the Word of God says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage." See, we get into these situations, and every single one of us goes there from time to time, where we are waiting on God. There's something, there's a desire in our heart, a prayer in our heart, a promise in our heart, and we are waiting on God. And he says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord." Why? Because he's my daddy. He knows the right timing. He knows the right timing. Can you imagine if God didn't regulate the timing and we did? That would be a disaster. Because we have no real understanding of anything whatsoever. That would be a disaster. But God's timing is impeccable. God's like, I don't know the timing, but God does. And I don't know why, when, and all that, but God does. I like to think about like 17 years waiting with a call to be a pastor. But God there at exactly the right moment. Like Jesus walking 20 miles to meet a woman within probably an approximately 5 minute window. And if he's not there in that, and he's waiting. He's never late. He's never early either. He's right on time. So wait on him because you're waiting on your daddy. He is your daddy. Do you get it? Even when your daddy fails, even when your daddy's not there, even when your daddy forsakes you in the human sense, God, your daddy, God, will never do so. In Isaiah 45 and verse 4, I have even called thee by name. Get this. I have surnamed thee. I have surnamed thee. Though thou hast not known me. What is that? Surname. I gave you the family name. You did not know me, but I gave you my family name. Because I am your daddy. And you may have been separated from me for a while, and you may not remember who I am, but he says, I have surnamed thee, and I'm taking you back. He gives us his name. God gives us his name. He says in Isaiah 43:1, the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. And when he says, O Jacob, he's talking to the carnal man. And the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. So in your carnality or in your spirituality, when you are backslidden or when you are right with God, he says, I have created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. What he says, I have called you, and I have given you the name. You belong to me. You belong to my name. I give you a new name, and it's my name. What is his name? Well, Jesus said he is the Son of God. I guess you could say in modern translation, Godson. Maybe. Kind of an odd name, but works. God's Son. That's my name, God's Son. And he gave me that name, and he calls me by that name. Hello, Mr. God's Son. Mrs. God's Son. Miss God's Son. This is what he talks about. This is what he's saying to us. When he gives us and calls us by a name, by our name. It's the name that he has given us as a family name. And he calls it by... Do you recognize what that means? That he will never call me according to anything other than my family name. The name that I have with him. He will never call me failure. He will never call me murderer. He will never call me... If I am born again, I cannot carry that name. Because I am surnamed by God. He will never call me fornicator or adulterer or drug addict or thief or child molester or kidnapper or any of those things. He will never call me that. He will call me God's Son. Come here, God's Son. Why? That's my surname. God's Son. This is how He thinks of us. This is the name He gives us. This is what He sees in us. We are God's Son. He's generous to His children. I think sometimes we think we have a tight-fisted daddy. I know in the world some daddies can be pretty tight-fisted. But it's only because they're afraid that they're going to lose what they have. God's not afraid He's going to lose what He has. If God lost all the gold in the world, He'd make another world full of gold. If He was actually interested in it. He's not worried about that. And He shares that with us. But He shares it to us in a way that's reality. You see, we think of these things in temporal terms, and He thinks of them in eternal terms, because really, the bulk of our existence, all but a very small sliver in time, is going to be spent in eternity. And really, I really firmly believe that when we are in eternity, 10 billion years from now, 100 trillion, quadrillion years from now, and we are still there, when we try to look back on this time, I wonder, will we even be able to remember being here? It's like driving through, you know what it's like? It's driving through a rest stop on a highway and you've got a long road trip. 10 years from now, will you remember that rest stop? I don't know if we're going to remember even being here. I mean, we'll know we have been because we have the books of remembrance and we are in heaven, and we'll know whether we are human beings that were blood bought and redeemed. We know that we were here. We know why we are in heaven. But I'm not so sure we're going to remember much of this earth. And I think in many ways we will not remember it by our own choice. We would rather forget. But then we come back for 1,000 years in the millennial reign with Christ. And will we even remember that 150 quadrillion years from now? When we are still in God's presence, still with fullness of joy, still in the house of the Lord. Will we remember that 1,000-year sliver? I don't know that we will. Well, we'll be perfected in our bodies, so maybe we will. But what a drop in the bucket. That 1,000 years, much less the 70, 80, 90, if we're fortunate that we get now. You see, He is our daddy, and He gives us treasures that are worth having. He doesn't give us vapor-type treasures. So much of the world wants a vapor-type treasure. I want to win the lottery. Okay, fine. I don't blame you. I mean, I wouldn't mind winning it myself. But on the other hand, you know what? It's a vapor-type treasure. Because you're not going to take it beyond here. And you're only going to be here for a short while. Why not store up treasures for yourself that moth and rust cannot corrupt, that never go away? In Isaiah 45:3, He says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called you by name, am the God of Israel. You see, the hidden treasure, the hidden riches of darkness, the hidden riches in secret places, those are real riches. Yes, I mean, maybe you would want to win the lottery, and okay, fine. You know, it's so great if you can. I mean, don't believe in gambling, but great if you, unless, of course, it's over $100 million, and Pastor Stephen says that's not sin anymore. So that's where the dividing line is. I'm just kidding on the internet. But he did say that. But he was just kidding also. Okay, I understand you would want that. I mean, in some way I would like that too. Who wouldn't like that? But you know, we can have it for eternity. Can you imagine like winning a lottery for eternity? A lottery where you cannot lose the riches, but you can't use them up. They're always yours for all of eternity. Well, we don't have a lottery, obviously, but we have hidden riches in secret places and treasures in darkness. And these are better than the lottery because these don't go away. And they are real. Hey, how big a house? How nice of a house? Let's put it that way. Some people don't want a big house. How nice of a house would you like to have? Would you like to have a house that is just your perfect dream? A house that is just exactly the way you like houses? God knows you better than you do. Would you like to be in a place where you're just like everything that is that blesses you is there? Well, these are riches. And they're found in dark places, in secret places. And they're hidden from our sight, but they are real. And we will receive them, and they won't be hidden from our sight forever. They will show up. I don't know about you, but I want those things. I don't necessarily want suffering. I don't think anybody would ask God to cause them to suffer. I don't necessarily want dark places. I don't really want those things, but you know what? I'll take the treasure. Except there's a problem. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that was buried in a field. And the man sold all that he had and he bought the field so that he might have the treasure. If we are interested in the treasure, then we have to buy the darkness. Because in that darkness is the treasure. Nobody's excited about the darkness. But the treasure is good. The treasure is very good. And so we go for the treasure and we buy the darkness. But that was an opportunity for us. And when we find ourselves in that darkness, we run to our daddy. Why? Because in Isaiah 42, when we're in that darkness, He takes us by the hand and He keeps us and He guides us and He takes us through the darkness and we don't have to be afraid. Why is it that we hesitate with darkness? Because we fear. And so we run to Daddy, and He takes the fear away. He may not take my darkness away, but He'd hold me in it. And He is light. And to Him there is no difference between light and darkness. So we run to our Daddy. In Romans 11:33, the Word of God says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." We don't understand. But then again, kids rarely do. I don't understand what my daddy's doing all the time. But kids rarely do. I don't understand why God does some things. Why God waits on some things. I'm still not entirely sure why He waited as long as He did for Lazarus. But He did. And Mary didn't understand that either. And she was a little bit angry with Him. And she said, "If you had been here, Lazarus, our brother, would have died." I don't know, He could have come the next day. But He waited a few more days. He could have just come the next day. And when he said, oh, let's wait 2 more days, he'd already been dead 2 days. So he didn't come until 4 days later. Why? I don't know. But he does. He knows. Maybe somebody was in the crowd when Lazarus was raised from the dead who needed to see it. Maybe if he had been there early for Lazarus, he would have been there late for the woman at the well. I don't know why. I just know this, that his ways are past finding out. We say, God, why did you do it that way? Why did you allow that to happen? Why did you call me into this? Why did you do that? I don't know. His ways are past finding out. But the depth of the riches of His wisdom and knowledge and His judgments are unsearchable. So what I do is I come to my daddy and I say, Daddy, you love me, don't you? He said, yes, I do. I love you. With all my heart, I love you. I say, okay, Daddy. It'll be fine. Because when He loves me, I know He takes care of me. And so I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take steps of faith because I have a daddy who loves me. I'm not afraid of the invisible or the impossible because I have a daddy who loves me. I'm not afraid to trust Him for things I cannot see because I have a daddy who loves me. I'm not afraid of making mistakes because I have a daddy who loves me. I'm not afraid of people because I have a daddy who loves me. I'm not afraid of persecution because I have a daddy who loves me. I'm not afraid of people's opinions because I have a daddy who loves me. I'm not afraid of failure because I have a daddy who loves me. And because He loves me, in Jude 1:24, He keeps me from falling, so that He can present me blameless and faultless and with great and exceeding joy. I have a daddy who loves me. And even if I fall on my face and I do everything wrong, He says to me, build yourself up in the most holy faith. How? Looking for mercy. In Jude 20 and 21. Looking for mercy. Why? Because I have a daddy who loves me. And I look for mercy and I fully expect it. I look for acceptance and I fully expect it. And I look for God's affections and I fully expect them. Why? Because I have a daddy who loves me. In Luke 15 and verse 21, the prodigal son came to the father and he said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, he didn't even answer the prodigal that way. What did he do? And he saw the prodigal. He didn't wait for the prodigal's confession. When he saw the prodigal, as my daddy was looking out in the distance, in the parts of my life that I'm not right with him perhaps, if that part shows up, he looks for me in the distance, and the moment I start to turn, what does he do? He runs and he embraces me and he kisses my neck. And he puts a robe on my back and shoes on my feet and a ring on my hand. And then he says to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and the ring and the shoes. And then he says, kill the fatted calf. There's going to be a feast tonight. Why? Because even in my worst state, even in the worst failures, even in my worst condition, my daddy loves me. And so I never hesitate in that state to run to my daddy. Because I'm not going to meet an angry God. I'm not going to meet a vengeful God. I'm not going to meet a righteous God who in righteous indignation feels I should be squashed like a bug. I'm going to go to the daddy who loves me, who'll show me kindness and mercy. Who'll say, you turned, attaboy, it's a good job, you turned, well done, you turned, good job. Let me take you back. Let me restore everything to you. Let me eliminate all the effects of the world and of your mistakes. Let me take that away from you. Let me take you back here. Like you never left at all. And then he doesn't just do that. He forgets that I actually left. And if you ask him, do you remember when he left? He said, no, I didn't know that he left. What are you talking about? He didn't leave. He's right there. He didn't leave. And you know what? That portion of time, my daddy transfers it, transforms it, eliminates that portion of time and replaces it with a different time. And he calls it my life. Why does he do that? Because he loves me. My daddy loves me. Sometimes it's difficult for us to wrap our mind around that. I don't think so much it's always that difficult to wrap our mind around that, the fact that he loves us. Sometimes it's difficult for us to wrap our mind that he loves the next guy. Like, I can see why you love me, but him? Why would you love him? There's nothing lovely about him. Look at him. And you know what he says? In Romans 9:15, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God who shows mercy. It's not of his merit, it's not of his ability, it's not of his strength. It's of God who shows him mercy. It's not of his perfection. It's not of his good performance. It's not of his good behavior. It's of God who shows mercy. God, why would you love that one? Because I will love who I love. What do you want to have anything to do with that one? You know what he did? You know what he's like? I have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. You know what, in a way it's saying, what's it to you? He just does. Sometimes we can do that to ourselves too. And the answer is the same. It's not in your performance. It's not in your ability. It's not in your behavior. It's in the one who shows mercy. In Isaiah 58, in verse 9, the Word of God says, then shall you call, and the Lord shall answer. Isn't that an amazing promise? You shall call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and He shall say, here I am. Now, he's not talking about a group of people that was really spiritual here. Isaiah's talking to a group of people who lived in serious rebellion against God. But he said about them, because he's their daddy and he loves them, you shall call. I'm going to bring situations into your life. And when I bring those situations in your life, you shall call me. And I will answer. He wants us to call on our daddy because he wants to answer. He's looking for us to call so that he can say, here I am. So you get that little picture, little kid in the middle of the night has a bad dream and they scream out for mom or dad. They say, here I am. That's the picture here. I scream out in the middle of my darkness. And he says, here I am. You're not going to fall. Here I am. The monsters won't get you. Here I am. Nothing will hurt you. Here I am, you won't be crushed. Here I am, you won't be misled. Here I am, I'm not going to drop you. Here I am, I'm here to hold you up. Here I am, you don't need to be afraid. Because I call my daddy and he answers. Always, 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 always run to your daddy. Always call to your daddy. He will answer. And he'll say, here I am. Isn't that like the most comforting thing to a child? Dad! Here I am. Well, you know what it means? He says, I'm right here. I'm not far away, I'm right here. I haven't let you go, I'm still holding you. You're not falling, I've got you here. You're in my arms. Here I am. In Jeremiah 42:12, I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. Isn't that a sweet promise? God will show mercy unto you. I have departed from my land. And maybe I had to leave because I was being chastised. But he says, in that I will show you mercy, that you may return to your land. I will show you mercy that even though you fail, you may live in the promises of God. I will show you mercy so that even though you fail, you will live in the grace of God. I will show you mercy so that even though you fail, you will turn from your ways and you will return to the ways of God. You will turn from the road of destruction and you will go into the path of life. Because I will show you mercies. And though sometimes it may be necessary for me to chastise you, it is only because I chastise the ones that I love. And it is only to get you to change your mind and get off that road and go on to the path of life where I can bring you into the fullness of that promise. See, God desires to do these things for us. God desires to give us our promises. God desires to make the past to bring about our prayers. God desires to do for us what He said. And so sometimes He has to correct us. Because He wants us on the path of life, where the promises, answers, provisions, where they are all found, rather than going down the bad road. But He does that simply because He loves me. See, I don't always know when I'm on the wrong road. But He does. And so He corrects me and puts me on the right one. And if I insist on staying on the wrong one, He may spank my backside, scourge me, even take me home. But even in that worst case scenario, He still embraces me in His bosom. Because He's my daddy and He loves me. And in Luke 6:36, He is merciful. So we never hesitate to run to your daddy. Never hesitate to call to Him. Never in the middle of your night, Dad! And you can barely get the voice. You ever have that? Remember when you were a little child and you were sound asleep but you had a nightmare and you could barely get the sound out of your lungs, although it was loud in your ears as you were sleeping, but as you progressively woke up you realized you were barely whispering and He heard you anyway. And He heard you because He was listening for you. And God is like that. He is listening for you. He's listening for your call so that He can say, here I am. I'll take care of it. Amen.